This, as you know, is the third and last of our Eric Zeisel specials. And one of the frustrations of presenting these programs to you is that I have not come across people with a first-hand knowledge of the man as a musician, as a composer, as a teacher. I have except members of his family or people who did know him who have written things for me from California and sent them to me. I haven't been able to talk to anybody who really knew him. You can imagine then that I was very pleased when I got a call from Frederick Marvin, the professor of piano at Syracuse University and very well-known pianist, who informed me that he studied with Eric Zeisel. And I immediately asked him if he would take time from his schedule before he goes to Europe to talk to me a little bit about Eric Zeisel, because he becomes the first person I've been able to talk to with first-hand knowledge of Zeisel. Fred, I've been very pleased and impressed with the music that I've heard of Zeisel's. Are you familiar with much of his music?
Oh, yes. The Sonata Barocca I know very well. I heard his Requiem. And some of the songs were sung in Los Angeles while I was there. Naturally, the pieces for Barbara, who was his daughter, I have a manuscript copy of and played. I played through most all of them. And I did play, I should say, five or six of that little group in a concert in California, and mainly in California, as a matter of fact. And I do have, as I show you here, a recording that I made some years ago of two works that were taken from that
from
group.
The pieces for Barbara,
from the pieces,
right.
From Barbara, yes. Of course, Barbara was a little girl at that time. Now she must be a grown-up, very attractive young lady, because she was a very sweet little girl. Mm. Zeisel taught at a conservatory in Los Angeles called the Southern California Conservatory of Music. And I studied composition theory with him for about a year and a half there, with also not only just studying with him, but I got to know him very well. He had this marvelous and delightful sense of humor, which you hear in his works.
Yes.
And
He must have had a great deal of charm, I gather.
He did. He could tell stories and jokes hours upon end. Really, it was marvelous. Of course, he knew all of the great Viennese composers of the time when he was in Vienna. Mm-hmm. He left because of the Hitler invasion of Austria. And as so many did, they have all marvelous and exciting recollections of those early days when Schoenberg and Mahler and Berg and all were in their prime. Zeisel had a very fine technique, and he was of the typical, what we call typical Viennese school, mm-hmm. Exemplified by Ernst Toch, mm-hmm. And Korngold.
Eric Korngold.
And they were all sort of contemporaries, you see.
Yeah.
Zeisel was a little younger, I think, than Toch, and unfortunately died, my goodness, he died in 59.
1959,
yes.
Right.
And he was quite young. But that was almost to be expected when we read and realize what medicine is now telling us. Too much whipped cream and very heavy Viennese food probably didn't help that demise, really, because he loved to eat. Mm. He loved to eat, he loved to tell stories, and he loved to be involved very much with
music.
Sounds
like a perfectly delightful man.
He was. He really
what is
was.
Wrong with this country that composers come to us, came to us at various times for refuge, and are treated so badly? I don't mean personally, but the music is just ignored. I mean, Eric Zeisel's music, which I think is, if not great on the level of masterpiece by any means, is very, very good and damn worth hearing once in a while.
Oh, I definitely agree.
He's never played in this country.
And what about Ernst Toch?
Ernst Toch, Eric Korngold is another.
Eric Korngold.
Of course, until he died, Bartok was the major example of this.
Right.
It was totally neglected here.
It's really a crime, because there Zeisel was sitting in Hollywood just struggling for an existence, literally just to be able to feed his wife and his daughter and himself, and received really no recognition except from the small Viennese group that were in
California.
But outside of that, no.
Now, you say some of his music is still played today in Vienna.
In Vienna, yes. I was very interested because I met some pianists there, and I said, by the way, did you ever hear of the name Erich Zeissel? Well, of course, Zeissel. Naturally, we teach his works, you see.
I see.
And you can hear on the radio station many, many times songs or piano pieces by Zeissel. So he's not forgotten in Vienna.
Right.
I'm very happy to say that.
Yeah.
But he certainly is forgotten in America, where he lived a considerable amount of years.
Oh, yeah, about 20 years, 21 years.
So,
let's play this record that you brought in. We played on the first of our three Erich Zeissel specials. We did play a recording for the SPA label, the Society of Participating Artists.
It
was
SPA
done down
label,
in Saratoga.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That Zeissel himself made of the pieces for Barbara. But that was about a month and a half ago now, and I think there's every reason in the world to play two of the pieces. Well, these are not the pieces for Barbara. These are the pieces to children.
Pieces to children. But they were dedicated to Barbara.
Which were dedicated to Barbara.
Yes.
I think, I'm not sure that we played these pieces. I'll have to check. But at any rate, these are two pieces, Spring Day and Somersaults, that Frederick Marvin recorded on a 78 recording, which I'm now going to play for you. And then we'll talk a little bit more.
Okay.
So rare that I get an opportunity to watch a 78 needle go by that I tried to read the label at one point.
You can't.
No
it's
way.
Going too fast.
My eyes haven't stopped. Those were two of the 16 pieces for Barbara by Erich Zeissel, number 12, A Spring Day, and number 15, Somersaults, described as 16 scenes from a child's life and written in 1947 by Erich Zeissel for his daughter Barbara, who was then 7 years old. So she would now be 33.
My goodness, time does fly.
those are absolutely, you know, fun, enjoyable, and again, the word charming, which is a word that has come back to me throughout listening to his music.
That's true, and I must say, very frankly, they may sound very simple. They're not. They're tricky. They really are. They're technically, they're quite tricky.
I don't play the piano very well, but I play it well enough to know that those are tricky.
Yeah, no, they really are.
Yeah.
But they're very effective and could be played always as a charming encore work. And I think they're also very, very good to give to advanced students.
Mm. Well, you should start working some of those into some of your programs.
I certainly am going to. I must say, with all the things I've been doing, I sort of put it aside and forgot about it until I happened to open up Wono's guide and I saw you're doing a series on Eric Zeisel. And so I said, aha, my old teacher.
Mm-hmm. The Sonata Barocca, which we played earlier this month, is also a very, very effective piece.
It's a very good piece.
Yeah.
Really, it really
first,
is. Very
first
good.
Rate piece of music.
Very well written. Well, the man really knew his theory and composition and was a very good teacher, I must say. I remember that Peter Yonah-Korn also studied with him.
Mm-hmm.
And Korn, of course, is now the director of the Richard Strauss Conservatory in Munich and is doing quite well. I mean, I don't say he learned all of his work with Zeisel, but he was working with him at the time I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he also studied with Ernst Toch.
Yeah.
I'm quite sure that he studied with Ernst Toch.
There's a whole school of Vienna that I would like to see, come out to the world more. Starting really one generation before Zeisel, I would like to see Zeisel's one of his major teachers, Joseph Marx. I'd like to hear more of his music.
Music by Marx.
I've seen scores, but I've never...
and songs, too.
Right, but I've never heard. I've just seen scores.
Oh,
I've never heard the music. And that's,
I think there's quite a lot recorded.
Of songs.
Of songs,
yeah.
Right.
But none of the orchestral music is recorded.
I really don't know, but you do hear on the radio in Vienna, do hear a lot of Joseph Marx.
Right. Franz Schmidt is yet another from the earlier okay. vintage. Mm-hmm. Schrecker. Ron Schrecker is yet another one whose Birthday of the Infanta suite is lovely. And then into that next generation, the people like Zeisel and Toch and Carl Weigel.
Oh, yes, Weigel has been played recently quite a lot.
Well, it's been played.
In Vienna it's a lot.
But again, I'm talking about don't hear.
And, the piano works of Ernst Toch, I don't want to get over on Toch, we're on a Zeisel program, but because of their
connection,
have also been sadly neglected.
Right.
I'm giving to my students, and I'm playing myself, a lot of things of Ernst Toch. I knew him very well at the same time that I knew Zeisel, California.
Yeah. Well, this is, I say, it's a whole school. Korngold is another one. I think
very gifted.
From a pirate tape, I know Die Todesstadt, which is just a lovely opera.
It is. I've seen it. I've seen it two times in Vienna, and it's a very beautiful, beautiful score.
It's probably
very
one
moving.
Of those performances that I have on tape because it's from Vienna.
That's very possible because it was not done for many, many years. Lotte Lehmann had done it many, many years earlier, but recently it was done at the Volksoper.
Mm.
And you have probably the tape from the Volksoper. It was never done in the Staatsoper.
No, I think it's the Volksoper.
But it was done in the Volksoper. And then I saw it once in Munich with Marianne Schaech. And it was very, very beautiful. So I've really seen it now three times. And
this whole school, including what I've heard of Zeisel on these two programs so far, and this one coming that we're doing tonight makes the third, this afternoon rather, these are... pieces of music that people should just hear. One doesn't want to put down, I'm not putting down the masterworks. They obviously, Beethoven, Brahms, Mozart, Bach, these people hold a special place. But if one listens to music with any regularity, one has to vary menu.
Yes.
You don't eat just steak every night, And you have to go out and look at other things.
Right, well, this is a terrific Viennese torte.
Right, exactly.
With whipped cream on top.
Exactly.
And it's delightful, and there's no reason why it shouldn't be played. I tell you frankly, when I recorded this, it was difficult to learn, but it was a delight to perform. And I played it in concert in San Francisco and Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I went traveling, it just sort of got
aside,
as so many other things do. I used to play a lot of other works, for instance, of Toch and also of Honegger. Which I'm going to revive now.
Very good.
So there's plenty of things to do. The repertoire is huge.
Well, again, I want to thank you for coming down and giving us the only personal link to Eric Zeisel that we've been able to have on the air.
Well, he was really a wonderful man, very warm, very sweet, very human, and his music reflects that, really.
Yeah, it certainly does. Fred Marvin, thank you very much.
Pleasure.